tip today in association with Slattery's of Faclone, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, welcome along to Tip Today. Lots happening on the programme today. Tipperary TD Matty McGrath under fire over his fat lady comments, which have been described as disgusting and degrading. And he'll be talking to us about that and indeed about the Oireachtas Committee on the Eighth Amendment and their decisions yesterday, as well as that Amy Ryan has been out and about for us. In Ardfinnan, we've got our vet marade on the way for you. We'll be talking wine with Gary Gubbins, and as well as that, we'll be hearing from our money doctor, John Lowe, as we're only a couple of weeks from Christmas, and he might have some ideas on how we can save a few bob along the way. 1800-938-007, that's our free phone number. Alison is producing today, and she'd be happy to hear from you. You can text me on 083-311-3311. As ever, we'd be delighted and glad to hear from you. Let's have a look at what's making headlines today. Both sides in the debate on the Eighth Amendment say they're confident of persuading the public in a referendum vote. It follows yesterday's vote by the Oireachtas Committee recommending that abortions be allowed for any reason up to the 12th week of pregnancy. The Taoiseach said he'd like to see a referendum on the abortion issue in May or June. Ireland's deaf community is celebrating the expected passage of a new law that ensures public services are available through Irish Sign Language. The Recognition of Irish Sign Language for the Deaf Community Bill is due to pass all stages of the Oireachtas today and should be signed into law in the coming weeks. And the issue of CCTV cameras in Thurles were once again raised by the Tipperary County Council at a recent council meeting. Councillors have been calling on the council authority to upgrade the CCTV cameras in Thurles, which were installed through a community-based grant system through the Department of Justice and Equality 4 years ago. The Gardaí in the area have cited the quality of the video as an issue and have asked for something to be done where that is concerned. 1800 938 007. Now, the Tip FM toy appeal, we were talking about this yesterday. We were talking about the huge, huge success. And if you want to have a look at that Aladdin's cave of toys that arrived in from you, the people of the Premier County, it is now on our Facebook page if you want to have a look at that. Now, there was a lot of criticism on the show about the appearance of Professor Michael Barry on national television this week, who was defending the decision not to approve drugs for Alpha 1 patients. He is the clinical director of the National Centre for Pharma Economics, who advises the HSE, and his appearance on primetime was highly criticised. Now, Philip joins me online. Philip, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, and thanks for coming on with us. You were quite taken aback by Professor Barry's attitude. Is that fair to say?
Yes, Fran. I was listening to him the other night there. Like, he was talking. He was very arrogant, you know. He was talking to a man that had the disease, a man that knew what he was talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And the way he was talking to him, and also the family of the lady was in the audience there. The family of the lady that was just after passing away the week before was also in the audience.
Marion Kelly's family,
Marion Kelly. And I thought he was an absolute, because honestly, a plonker, that's what I call him now, to the way he, you know, I noticed there's an awful lot of arrogance with these fellas.
Well, we were speaking to Marion's daughter yesterday on the program, Philip, and she was there at that RTE show.
That's right. Yeah, and
and she was saying that, you know, he didn't even sympathise with the family. He was cold to them, and he practically ignored them.
He did indeed. They were sitting straight opposite him, you could say there, and he completely no heart whatsoever, no feelings for the people that are there. a life seems to be no value at all anymore, Fran. Do you know what I mean? Just the way he was talking, and the man knew exactly what he was talking about because he had the disease. He knew what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But no, he was wicked bullish, and he was saying. But it's typical of the government. They're into all this spin and stuff. Do you know? It's the same with the.
Well, now, in fairness, you know the story there that he's not a member of the government. He is a member of that National Centre for those Pharma Economics, where they make a decision on whether or not that it's viable or justifiable, I suppose, that a certain amount of money is spent on a particular drug.
That's it. But how can you put a value in a life?
Yeah.
If that man explained that it was giving him a better life, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to be at the show. If he hadn't had that drug, he wouldn't have been able to be there. And the fact of the matter is that they were after being had a thing beforehand there with the other family, the Kelly family.
Yes.
Now, the Kelly family, I believe, are meeting the Minister for Health.
Early in the new year, yeah.
Early in the new year. What good is that now? Do you know what I mean? It's a bit late now meeting
according to Aideen yesterday, I mean, that family are generous enough to say, look, we don't want the same thing to happen to the other people that happened to our mother.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That was the point. And that other man that was there, like, if he doesn't get the drug, he'll go down the same road, the poor man.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of a country are we living in?
It's like a death sentence in a way, like, if he doesn't get them. Yeah.
You have Leo Varadkar spending $5 million on advisors and what have you. We have councillors now. I'll be honest with you, we have councillors now in this town and in every town. They're not actually needed because I don't hear them talking up for anyone anymore. All this week I haven't heard one councillor come on talking about. Those things, or homelessness, or the health issues that we have in this country. It's a disgrace. We vote these people in, and they sit inside on their butt, and they just go with the flow. They're told what to do. Basically, they're told what to do. You have Sinn Féin now. You've had a few people leave Sinn Féin over being bullied. Mm. Imagine being bullied this day and age. And you also have all the parties, as you can see, if they don't step in behind the boss, as they say. You know what I mean? They can't talk up. You remember years ago where you and he would talk up for you there and then, and that was it. But now they're hiding behind their boss and all this crap, you know.
Well, we often hear from councillors that they, you know, they might want certain things to happen, but they can be blocked by the authority for whatever reason, you know. It might be an economic reason, there's not enough money there or whatever. But it seems like that they don't have a great deal of power when we do vote them in.
But, like, why have them in there then? Like, all this week, I haven't heard one. I haven't heard a councillor on the station this week. Have you had anyone on this week talking about these important issues? Homelessness, people dying in Dublin on the streets.
Well, we did. We had some of our deputies on speaking about the whole business of the drugs issue and that sort of thing, you know?
You know.
But you're saying there's not enough from them, is that it?
I don't hear anything from them. You know what I mean. They take up other issues. Like one time there, the insurance, car insurance.
Mm.
What they weren't going to do, they'll throw notes in the door. They were this one and that one. What you're still going on there? The insurance is still the same. Ask any young person that tries to get insurance. It's an absolute disgrace the way they carry on.
That's for sure.
And they're letting away with it, you know.
Have you any political affiliation at all?
Well, I have actually, but my opinion is that something that does something for you. My man is Michael Lowry. I believe that he'll stand up for, no matter who you are, he'll stand up for you, and if he can do something for you, he will do it.
Yeah. And well, we heard of a situation during the week, and I'm not picking up Michael in particular because the other TDs were the same, but Don was on to us to say that he emailed all of the five deputies and invited them to join him on a trip around Dublin to meet the homeless people, and he didn't even get an email back from them.
I don't know, in those situations, like, they have to work too, don't they? They have to work and think. They can't
well,
be...
Well, hold on now. You're after telling me that they should be doing more and they should be doing lots more.
I totally agree that they should go and see what's happening. And
right, so and was Michael Lowry wrong not to, to reply to that then?
Of course he was, yes.
Right, okay.
Of course, if he didn't reply to it, he was wrong. Right. It was everyone else, you know.
Right.
But of the whole lot of them, it proves the point. He tops the poll every time, and he doesn't top the poll for any reason. Only that he obviously something done for people. You know what I mean?
Right, but of course a lot of people would criticise that as parish pump politics, that if somebody's in the National Parliament, they should be discussing things nationally and having an overall picture of the whole political scene in the country, as opposed to about somebody's potholes or something, you know?
Well, see, he's obviously doing that too, but you have to get these other jobs done too. Like, our money for, as you talk about potholes, there's the councillor should be in on this too. Our money went that time on water.
Mm.
Where's water now? To give back people money. To give back money to people that didn't even... 100 yeah. euro a time. It was absolutely... where would that money go today to buy the drugs that are needed?
Well, most people would agree that that was a complete fiasco, you know?
An absolute fiasco. And look at all the money that people got there in pensions and what have you. It goes into a very, very, very high sum, you know.
Mm.
And you had a man that went away there, Mr. Hogan. He went off, got a soft job. You had, my opinion is, at this day and age, you have Simon Comey, a complete failure.
Well, could I put it to you? You say you're a Michael Lowry man, but you're very critical of a government that Michael is propping up.
Yes, but I believe in speaking your mind. You have to speak your mind. If it's wrong, it's wrong, and that's it. That's the way I go.
Right.
Were you
a member of Fine Gael at some stage?
Not at all. No, I never. I just if it suited me, if those things, I'd vote for it, and if it didn't, I actually used to support Fianna Fáil there one time, but I'm afraid that was back in Charlie Haughey's time, I'm afraid, you know.
So you were a Charlie Haughey fan?
Oh, I'm a Charlie Haughey fan at one stage. It was because my father was a very Fianna Fáil man.
Right.
And, to know the way you were.
It was a family tradition, you know.
You soon learn, you know what I mean.
All right, Philip. So you think that they should speak up for us more?
Of course, they should speak up. That's what they're there for. They're not paid to sit in their high horse there and think.
Talk
up. The likes of Simon. I go back to just one particular instance. Simon Coveney was boasting that he'd have people out the homeless. Those people out at hotels by July this year. Now he ended up. He's gone out of that job now, and now he's gone into another job. Tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
Frances Fitzgerald. The very minute she resigned from her position, she ran off that night down to Lucan and put in her name for something else.
She did, and she got it. She will be representing Fine Gael in the next general election in the area.
Leo Varadkar saying he'd welcome her back into the party.
Yeah, but I have to put it to you again, Philip, that your man is Michael Lowry and he's propping up this government.
Yeah, but...
Are you calling on him to stop doing that?
Well, if it's wrong, he shouldn't be propping it up. It's very simple.
Right. It's wrong as far as you're concerned, is that it?
Well, there's an awful lot of things that are going on that are wrong.
And
I actually read on the paper the other day where Francis Fitzgerald would go for presidency. Believe me, do you know what I mean? it's really pulling the dog by the tail, aren't you?
All right, Philip, good to talk to you today, and thanks very much indeed. That's one of our listeners, Philip, with his particular take on what's happening in this country at the moment. What about your take? 1800-938-007. Alison is producing. You can text on 083-311-3311. It's 20 minutes past nine.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Now, we're glad to be giving our listeners their say this morning. And another listener, Jude, is online with me. Good morning to you, Jude.
Good morning, sir.
And it's good to speak to you today. You're taking exception to the Children's Minister. Why, Jude?
I'll say simply why. But as I before that, I'll say... I think the people of Ireland should, Clare and the outlying area, should really think about this. How can we have a minister for children, protecting children from the age of babies all the way up, that actually comes out with a statement, say, she came out with a statement there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, she said, anyone, or the day before, and she was on every news broadcast, anyone that knows anyone of any danger for children being put under abuse or even the past should report it to TUSLA immediately.
Mm.
That was fine. As an individual, as a minister for children, that's a good statement to come out with.
It is, yeah.
But the week before, she was on every news broadcast coming out saying, any woman in Ireland should be given, regardless of circumstances, open access to abortion. How can those two things coincide with that ministerial job? That's all I'm asking. If anyone else came out with a statement the previous week, I wouldn't bat an eyelid at it. But for the Minister of Children to come out and with that statement, I found it very disturbing.
An awful lot of people, Jude, would see those as two completely separate issues.
Exactly, yeah, but she's in a ministerial role as Minister for Children. Is the child... Every little baby that's living today and the parents looking in their eyes, did they become a little baby? It's the minute they're born and she's minister. I think in her position, it really undermines her job.
Whether you agree with her or not, is she not showing leadership there? Is she not putting her cards on the table and saying, look, this is how I feel about this and you vote whatever way you feel?
I'll put it this way. As her position under the Constitution, she's inciting people to break the law as the Constitution stands today for the protection of the unborn.
Yeah, but she was making reference to a referendum that's coming up where people would vote. So how was she breaking the law?
She's breaking the law. Do you not see the contradiction? I'm sure the people out there listening see the contradiction.
Yeah, but where's the breaking the law bit coming in?
Yeah, but we under the constitutional law as it stands at the moment.
Yes, but she's making reference to a vote that will come up down the road and her opinion on that.
That's fine if that's your opinion, but I'm sure a lot of people out there see a big contradiction that we have a Minister of Children that comes out and that's her stand.
Hmm.
I'd just like the public's feedback on it. Furthermore, Amnesty International, they are using Irish volunteers to collect money on the streets, probably 150 to half a million a year. Where is that money going? Most of it's going to Africa to sponsor organizations that cull the population of Africa. Do Irish people agree with that? There's other organizations collecting in this country that do the same. They're after receiving big funds from the United States.
Mm.
People need to check in who the companies that are sponsoring that. What have they to gain from termination of the unborn coming into Ireland?
Right. It's rather emotive language, though, when you say something like to cull a population, Jude.
Yep. Yeah, if you look in, I've looked into this over the years, especially last year. If you look at the population of Europe and the Western world as a whole, the population is plummeting.
Mm.
Germany is one of the worst in Europe. Canada is allowing, 100,000 people a year. They're giving them visas to come in as citizenship, young people from all over the world. And the minister there said, one of the ministers there said, by 2050... Even at this rate of us allowing 100,000 people a year in, young people, we will not have enough young people working to pay taxes, to support the hospitals, the politicians, by the population is dropping so rapidly. So there's something going on. I'd love people to look into this. I know there are certain...
Where are you talking? I mean, some of the areas of the world you're talking about. I mean, are you making reference, by the way, to... Just for clarity, Jude, are you making reference to contraception? Is that it?
No, the anti-life agenda in it.
Yeah, but when you say that these people are collecting to spend money in places like Africa, and so are you saying to make contraception more widely available there?
Well, no.
Are you against contraception?
No, I'm against organizations that come into the country and undermine the constitution. And Amnesty International is coming in here and interfering with... They're supposed to be helping people all over the world. I used to support them, and I used to give them a good few pounds over the years. Once I heard that they were anti-life, that they were supporting abortion around the world...
Well, they wouldn't see themselves as anti-life, as you can imagine.
Well, they're contradicting. They're duplicitous as well, and they're hypocritical, because they're supposed to protect people in prison, whatever.
Just for clarity, are you anti-contraception?
I'll put it this way. There's natural ways of not getting pregnant. There's plenty of ways out there of not. Right. But we're going away from the fact that
But if you see a situation in Africa where AIDS is completely widespread, where there's so many people there that they can't be fed and they're dying of hunger and misery and stuff, you know, I can't see the humanity in saying that these people shouldn't have access to contraception.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a different matter at the moment. I'm not too informed about Africa, but there are many countries in Africa that are...
So what about here then? Do you think contraception shouldn't happen in Ireland?
I haven't really studied that area, but contraception is a poison in itself.
It's a poison?
It does much damage that it does to the human body.
Like what?
People need to research it on their own.
Right, but that's how you feel about it anyway.
It's not that. It's just I'm talking about the Minister of Health being...
Mm. Yeah, and you see her views at odds with each other when she
is Minister for Children.
All right, what about the Oireachtas Abortion Committee yesterday voting to repeal the Eighth Amendment? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on that. I heard one of the politicians on yesterday, one of the senators, I can't think of his name. There's only three senators in the Senate that are pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was on Spirit Radio yesterday, and what he said went on within that committee was disgraceful. And no one seems to be putting them on the air to explain what
we've had people on the air here explaining their version of that several times. You're probably making reference to Ronan Mullen, are you?
No, I'm not. Yeah. I can't think of the name of the other guy. He was on Spirit Radio yesterday.
Okay, all right.
Really well. They got many people on the pro-abortion side in from all over the world. And when the pro-life people walked in...
Right, well they would, wouldn't they? Because that would be their reason for existence, wouldn't it?
No, they were meant to examine it impartially and make a decision.
Yeah.
They didn't examine it impartially. It was one side of the decision was made before it ever came out. If you listen to the senators... You would have understood that.
Well, people had a vote, and they had several strands to that vote, and you know there were people who decided not to vote, or people who voted for some of it and others for not of it. You know.
Well, I'll tell you, if you listen to the ministers, it was so one-sided. They had made the decision within the first month of their.
Right.
They wouldn't listen to the people that they brought in. The people on pro-life from all. I think there was only four or five.
All right. Are you a member of the pro-life organization?
No, I'm not. I'm just an ordinary member of the public, and I'm concerned what I see going on in the country. But one thing I'll say, any politician or any senator in Dáil Éireann, they think they're abdicating their responsibility to hand it over to a referendum.
Yes.
Senators yesterday. Any Christian senator or politician in Dáil Éireann, if they have stood by idly and not stood up for their position, regardless of the separation of church and state, you cannot separate church and state. You cannot separate being a Christian and being a non-Christian.
But you have to separate church and state if you've got multi-denominational grouping in your country. You know, if you have multi-ethnicity, you have to separate church and state.
But not when it comes to the commandments of God. He said, do not.
But see, they're not your, sin. But they're your commandments.
They're,
do you know?
They're God's commandments.
But it's your God. Do you know what I'm saying to you?
But it's their God as well if they are Christians. Jesus says the least.
There's a lot of other people now making up the population of this country that aren't Christian. You know. That.
Jesus said the least you do to the little ones you do to me. Any politician that thinks he's abdicated his responsibility.
Right. But what is wrong with a democratic view on this? The referendum going to the public, they can vote. What's wrong with democracy?
The thing is, that happened in England, it happened in the United States. There were kangaroo courts that allowed this thing in. Mm. And see where it is today. Millions of children being terminated and aborted around the world. See what happened in England. It was a limited amount. There's 65,000 to 100,000, if not more.
Okay, well, we seem to have...
There's 60,000 to 100,000 a year being terminated in England.
All right. Jude, there I must leave it, but thank you for your contribution to the programme today, and good to talk to you as well. That's one of our listeners, Jude, speaking to us there.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Tipperary TD Matty McGrath's come under fire because he made remarks while discussing the Oireachtas Committee on the Eighth Amendment yesterday. And the remarks were about the fat lady singing. And Matty joins me online now. Good morning to you, Matty.
Morning, friend. Just firstly, friend, in relation to Don, and I know he does a lot of hard work and good work that was on with you on Monday. I think it was Monday. I have searched upside down, inside out, and my staff have in my office, and unfortunately we received no email from Don. And
this is where he was asking you to join him in a trip to Dublin to meet the homeless people,
And I'm in Dublin. I left Stawell last night about 12:30. We spoke till 11:45. I'm here all the time. I have no problem with that any night, but I got no emails from, and neither did Deputy Lowry. His staff contacted my office as well. So, you know, fair is fair. I mean, we could miss emails or whatever, but we've tried everywhere. This went to spam or went to something else, but I certainly received no email, and I'm happy to meet Don in Dublin or in Tipperary if he wants to.
Well, that's great. But in fairness to him, he did send me a copy of what he sent, so it may have ended up in spam or something. But well, now that you said that you'll meet him, I'm sure he'd be absolutely
delighted. Well, of course, I do my best to meet him.
Can I take you back to those remarks yesterday? Because all over the papers today, can I give you just a sample of it? Ignorant, misogynistic, vile, buffoonery, just disgusting, degrading, grade A plank, not fit to be a TD, the fat lady singing comment. What was that about, Matty?
Look, friend, I don't mind the media because I don't read the media, to be honest, because they're biased completely. What happened, you see, simply was, and I want to talk about it before we end the interview, please, our rural group, and which Dr. Hafty and I organised a motion, and we spoke to it on the home care packages.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. Well, will you deal with the comments? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, but we were out during a press conference about that, and of course the second question was about the aid. I said, I'll deal with the aid, in fairness of my colleagues, I'll deal with it as soon as we have finished with the business on hand that we did. And then, of course, there's just different comments. And the previous comment to that comment was an answer to a reply from a journalist, and there were numerous of them there, that I had accused the chair of being biased. And I had continued in my claim, and she has been very biased in my opinion. And I have a good working relationship with her. Mm. And the next question then was, what now? I said, sure, it'll probably be decided in committee today. It was a foregone conclusion anyway, and it was decided in committee, as it turned out. And it would go to the cabinet, and it would go to the Dáil, and it would be sent to the people for referendum. And the people will have the final, will be final arbiters, and it's not over until the fat lady sings. And immediately, out of respect for the interview, I said, just in case they would construe the two comments, the previous one about Senator Noon, I said, and I'm not speaking about the chairperson. And that's what, genuinely, honestly, I attempted to say.
Had you planned to say that beforehand?
No, I had not. No, I hadn't.
So this was off the top of your head?
I'd say that terminology is a colloquial term. It's there since 1876, introduced in an opera. I use that often. Lots of people use that, and we've gone so PC here now. I mean, it's crazy. And you know yourself, if you tell me you never use it or never heard it, you know, you wouldn't be telling the truth. That's in Tipperary, all over the country. Here in the Dáil, it's often used.
What if I was out in the plinth talking about as serious a subject as you were talking about, I would temper my language just a bit, Matty, you know. I wouldn't be...
Well, look, I don't see anything at all wrong. Don't be drinking all PC now, me either. I mean, that term has been used in film, in the music industry, where you play a big part in as well, in different industries and different areas of theatre and of public life. That's a very innocuous saying, and it has no connotations. Certainly, and that's the only reason...
But you probably would have gotten away with it, with the exception of bringing in Catherine Noon into it.
And out of my goodness of heart, in order not to have any undermining of her as chairperson, as a person, as a lady, mm-hmm. I said that I'm not speaking about, in case they put two and two together and get ten, I said, out of my goodness, in case, as I had been speaking to, I had been speaking about her and her rise in the committee, you know, and the very next sentence was about this, and I said that just in case, and it's construed.
She didn't accept your apology. You attempted to apologise.
Oh, no, she did, of course. No, let's be fair now.
She didn't. She came out and she said that she wouldn't even dignify it with a reply.
Well, I tell you what she said to me. I can't say what she said. I tell you what she said to me. I phoned her office immediately, and I phoned her. I got her number then, a mobile, and I phoned her, and I said, look, I wanted to meet you to just ensure that you understand that there was no malice of any shape, make or form.
And what did she say?
And she said, Matty, thank you. I know that. She said, but listen, you and I are too busy today to pick up time to meet me. There's no need for a meeting. She said, I understand that.
And why did she come out then and say that she wouldn't dignify it with a reply?
I haven't a clue, but I mean, I can only speak for myself.
And
I
did she
speak.
Say that after saying to you that it was grand?
Oh, yeah, later on I saw that comment, or someone brought that comment to my attention. But no, I spoke to her on the phone. I wanted to go and meet her, and I had a hundred of things to do, but I said, I better go and meet
did
her.
Did all this take away from a very serious matter, indeed, and something that, you know, I know that you feel very strongly about, but did this not dilute anything you had to say on that decision yesterday from the committee?
No, it didn't, because it's a foregone conclusion. The committee has been a contrived outfit from the beginning. You know that. I threatened to leave it. We stayed in with endurance. It was a whole charade, to be honest. So it didn't take any bit at all. And it just goes to show that anyone on either side of the argument make a syllable that the media they have a field day. Media 199% bystanders, and that's quite obvious and evident. So that's why I didn't buy paper 3 or 4 years, and I won't buy papers because they're 100% biased. We have Amnesty International, and your previous speaker was alluded to. They have been found to have defrauded, you know, the SIPO system of 137,000 they got from America. I'm entitled to get €100, or you are, or your station, or any public organisation, and no more. And now they've been found in breach. And they have blatantly said, Mr. O'Gorman, the CEO, that they won't pay it back. And they're one of the main promoters for this.
It just worries me when you brand the media with all the same thing. I mean, we're very careful on this programme to have a balance, particularly
about
this.
Well, you're not really.
You
ran off with a story on Monday morning about the email without ever asking any deputies. Why didn't we respond to this email?
But the man sent me in a copy of the emails with your email addresses on it.
Doot Ban Lum, Doot Ban Leahy. Fran, a simple phone call would have checked out whether I got an email or not. I got no email, and you have to take my word for that, and my staff word
But you take my word that he sent it in to me with your name.
No, but couldn't you forward it to me and say, why didn't you deal with this? You just don't run off at the first news, the first email that comes in. I mean, the media have a responsible role as well. And in this debate that we're going into now...
But are you saying I'm irresponsible? He sent in the email with your email addresses on it that he had sent.
You know, look, Francis Fitzgerald had to resign over an email. You know what the connotations about emails now. They're so available or so whatever. I'm saying to you that...
I don't believe you're making a comparison between that and the Francis Fitzgerald email.
No, you're trying to... I'm just saying that I didn't see the email. It never came into my office. If you had a proper reception, you had contacted us first.
Don has been on to us now again, right this second, to say that he has confirmation that Matty did receive that email.
Well, I have no confirmation, and he hasn't confirmation, and it's funny you have Don lined up, but anyway... I haven't lined him up.
He's after coming in. He's just making a text.
I tried to get on the station 3 days since Monday to discuss this, and you were on this morning discussing my remarks, and I have no problem discussing any remarks I make. I have to take responsibility for them. I'm just saying the media have a responsible role, and they should be responsible, and I'm talking about the national media, and the print media, and all the media, and Sky, and God knows... What that term that's there, and I'm sure if you weren't so goody-goody, you used yourself many a time, or been in places for use, and there was never a word about it.
But in the context, the context in which you used it is where the problem is.
The context, I hope you're not to discuss it, is we were out during a press conference about a very important piece of legislation that we're being promoted.
And that's the point I'm saying to you. And all the coverage of this now has taken away from your argument.
Yeah, because I'm pro-life and the media hate anyone who's pro-life. Full stop. Look, you find me five journalists that are even balanced on this issue, and I'll buy you a Christmas. A bottle of whiskey for Christmas.
Well, you better buy me a bottle of whiskey because I'm completely balanced on it.
I can't buy a bottle of whiskey because I wouldn't be allowed, but I'm just saying that there's no balance in the media on this topic. I got help in the campaign going forward. There's none whatsoever. From the Irish Catholic and one or two, Bede O'Brien, one or two decent journalists. The rest of them just are not interested in what goes on.
What about what the pro-life campaign is saying this morning? I presume you agree fully. The abortion vote is appalling, it says here, but the public will have its final say on the Eighth Amendment. Do you go along with that then?
That's what I said in my interview. I'm just making the point, and I don't agree fully. I'm just saying I make up my own mind, and I'll be making a statement later on today about it, and as the next week goes forward too, before the report. But I do that in the fullness of time. Right. And the public, thankfully to God, that it is in the Constitution, and it'll have to be a vote of the people to remove it. Because the Eighth Amendment has saved hundreds of thousands of lives, and the joy it has brought. I just got a phone call this morning from a family in Dublin where there was a baby with serious life-limiting conditions, and was born, and it died yesterday, and they're given the... And they had such a real sense of pride and, you know, achieving a birth to family, a christening, now a funeral, and they're given the half paths for other important little children that need those, or waiting for those in Cumbria and elsewhere. So look at the joy that brought, and they continued. They knew with 12 or 14 weeks this was in big trouble, and I wouldn't live long outside the womb. And thankfully, they have the dignity now of having a birth, having to hold a little baby, having some time with it, having then, above all, a wake and a funeral and a grave to go to. And also the thought that the paths, the little park paths are being used to save valuable lives of sick children.
All right. Okay. Will you talk to me about something else? Because I know it's close to your heart, which is the home care package motion. Tell me where we are where that's concerned now.
Well, there are two things, really. We put on a motion last November, 12 months now, on the Fair Deal, because there was huge discrimination against Fair Deal as against farmers of self-employed people, where there's a three-year cut-off on the amount that they take from your property or your home for ordinary people living in a house. But a person in a small business or a person in a small farm or whatever, there was no end to it. They could keep taking, and the farm would be diminished, and the asset wouldn't be any good to anyone because it wouldn't be a working asset anymore. And we brought that forward, and we pushed. And thankfully, Minister Jim Daly, who I want to thank him for meeting us yesterday with Seamus Healy, Michael Lowry, and Jackie Cattle, and the team from the Mental Health in Tipperary, Alan Moore, Joe, your guest there, Joe, your guest is on there every week.
Joe Leahy, and
indeed Mary Ryan. And they've made an excellent case about the complete lack of mental health services, and he's agreed to come down to visit us, and I thanked him at all publicly for that, and he gave us a very good hearing. He has announced
Is this similar to the Fair Deal scheme? Is that...
No, he's announced last night that the Fair Deal scheme is going to be equity brought into it. All we wanted was parity of esteem for a landowner, whether you were a self-employed person, with everybody else. So that's in motion, and I want to thank Mara Kenny from the IFA who worked with us. That was a year ago. This week, then, we had a motion about the home care package system. You were every day of the week, and the carers have been shown by RT excellent programmes, RT Investigates, and the carers in Tipperary do so much work and everywhere else. And again, there's 70,000, only 70,000 applicants, and only 20,000 get home care packages, and that's appalling. So we brought forward this motion, and again, to our surprise, actually, because in the other one with the Fair Deal, we had lots of negotiations with Upper Side of the Taoiseach. We had no negotiations this time, but the government committed it all the other night, to our surprise, at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night, and said they were going to accept the motion, and it was passed unanimously in the Dáil. So it was a massive breakthrough, and that's new politics at work. And you'll be up and say, what are we doing? What happened? So
it is, even though, to be honest with you, I have my doubts about some of it, because it's like the GP card given to the caregivers. Government policy now tends to be driven by RTE, you know?
Yeah, I accept that totally, and I accept that. And look, I'm not saying live hard to get grass. Yeah. I thought I'd be on to you this morning saying that we had this motion last November, 12 months, the government accepted it, and they haven't acted on it. But at least they acted last night on that, and there was some negotiation with the Attorney General all along. So I agree totally. It is, unless RT throws an expose on it, and prime time, and yourself, and in your own radio station there, and your researchers expose these issues. But that shouldn't be the way it is. I mean, there's too much bureaucracy in the HSE, and there's too much money being siphoned up other areas, and the ordinary people that are giving the care, they're getting sick themselves, they're not unable, and they're ending up in hospital. It's a futile policy because it's costing an awful lot more than it should cost in the first place.
All right, Matty, good to talk to you today. Thanks.
One word on the machine, please.
Yeah, it's great news, isn't it?
Wonderful news. And as I said, I attended meetings as well. The last meeting I attended actually was with Minister Fitzgerald in the Department of Enterprise. And that day I proposed actually that Michael Lowry and Jackie Cahill be put on the task force. And indeed, they are on the task force, contrary to what Deputy Kelly said last week. And look, it's wonderful news, because this is more than what we really see here firsthand. It's a strategic site. It's, you know, and thanks to the company, an Indian company, unlike what, you know, Gordon Amon are doing over the road, abandoning the workforce of 50 years. And, you know, the location, first of all, off the motorway, the water energy and indeed wind energy can be harnessed there also. And I want to thank the community of Lachine who had issues with this company from the start, but they worked with them, and Councillor John Hogan and many others, and the local committee there. This would be something like the sugar company. It could end up being something like the sugar company, as big as that, if we get the right people in there, and they are interested.
Hopefully, indeed. All right, Matty, thanks very much indeed for talking to us today. That's Deputy Matty McGrath. All right, let me take a break. We're back with more in just a few moments.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP today. Ellie, what's coming in on text?
Well, I think it's probably indicative of the two things that are going to prove the most divisive on this show over the next few months, and that's Matty McGrath and abortion. Mm. So in relation to your interview with Jude this morning, very polarizing figure, people very much for him or against him, depending on where you stand on that. Just some of the comments in relation to it. One of our listeners says, perhaps Jude should direct his fire and brimstone in a more positive way and focus on helping the thousands of underprivileged children our overburdened state cannot provide for. That's from Jane in Carrick and Shore. Also, Grace said, what an idiot. This matter should be left for women only to decide. I'm behind termination of the pregnancy in all cases if women decide to do that. Also, in relation to Matty's comments on the Eighth Amendment, we did have two listeners actually who rang in to say only for Matty McGrath that Catholics would not be represented in the Dáil, only for him. So very much behind him. Also, in relation to his comments on the Fat Lady Sings, a lot of people saying that we've gone PC mad and that it's just a saying and what's people's problems on it. But I think people are kind of missing the point. It's not the saying that was the issue. It was his reference to Catherine Noone in relation to that saying is the issue.
Mm.
And that's what's been getting a lot of media attention today. Also, in relation to the policies, we did have a comment in relation to drugs and the HSE's attitude towards drugs. We did have a caller who hopefully we'll speak to in the next hour who's saying that maybe government departments need to look at saving in other departments, particularly he singled out free legal aid. That maybe if we weren't so free to lash out money in free legal aid, that we would have the money to spend in health and to provide these vital drugs for patients.
Right, so I'm sure a lot of people out there might agree with that.
Absolutely.
As well. Ellie, thanks very much indeed for that, Ellie. If you want to speak to Alison, who is producing the programme today, 1800 938 007, that's a free phone number, it won't cost you a cent. You can text me on 083 311 3311. You can email tip today at tipfm.com.